Good morning. Thank you, Ohanu. Happy Father's Day. I hope this day is a blessing for you. Father's Day brings as many mixed feelings as Mother's Day can bring, but just not as emotional, not as passionate. We have a different orientation to mother than we do to our father. To moms, we're sort of tied to them. I look over to Bob Bolus, and I gotta look over a tree to see him, so I can't see Monty at all. To moms, we have this this heart connection. To dads, we have this appreciation. And both of them are mixed up with the mistakes and the failings and the weaknesses of our own mother and father, who after we got to be a teenager and then an adult, we went, oh, you know, there's some lumps in their lives. There's some difficulties, some maybe serious, but maybe just strong weaknesses. So Father's Day has that mix in it, but in the Lord, we appreciate what it means to have men around us. Men who raised us, men who befriended us, men who guide our families, men who lead our church. And so today, we're going to look at the idea of respect. Of respect. It is called for in Scripture, specifically commanded in Scripture, to be given to the men in our homes. So take this at whatever level you are. If you have a husband, this lesson's for you. If you are going to have a husband, think about the future. If you know somebody who has a husband, you could help them out with this. Because it's a misunderstood and an undertaught area. You know, men sort of just bear up with things. It's one of the reasons men quiet down as they get along in life and may not be as talkative, because you can't ask for respect. You can't do it. As soon as you ask for respect, you have none. It's like saying, I'm in charge here. As soon as you have to say, I'm the leader, you're not. And so this is a difficult area. Women were asked, this is in connection to the book titled Love and Respect, which is a worthy read if you want to. Women were asked, identified in that book, of their considering their friends, would they rather have love or respect? And the women said, love. And the men were asked the same question, and of course the men said, I'd like respect. It's not understood well by women. It is not understood well by women. This is not well understood even by men, but it's definitely not understood well by women. I ask women about respecting their husbands, and they'll tell me, oh, I respect my husband a ton. And I can, as the process is being shown along, I can say, I believe you, but you're not communicating it to him in his language. You don't understand respect in a man's language of respect. So we're going to try to dive into this and chew on it a bit. Most clearly, Ephesians 5 teaches us this. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, each individual among you should love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. The wife, and the word there is a word that's based on phobia. It is a word that has a serious respect to it, the word that we bring forward into fear. But it is taught throughout, it is shown throughout the New Testament that this word doesn't mean always be afraid of, but it means have that awe of, have that serious appreciation for the strength and the position of what's going on here. This happens throughout Scripture. This story goes throughout literature, and it plays out in modern life. Over and over again recently this year, Carol and I have been looking at Bible stories, and then we're either enjoying a piece of literature or enjoying an old movie, and then we're dealing with, of course, our modern life today. And we'll see in Scripture, we'll have run into an angry, manipulating, frustrated wife who's disrespecting her husband. And then in the piece of literature or the movie we have happened to watch in the past week, we ran into an angry, manipulating, disrespecting woman. And then in our modern life, we've scratched our head as we still struggle with this idea of what does it mean to show respect and live out a respectful life for husbands. Just a few verses before this, Paul tells the Ephesians, be careful. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. It is so easy to step on one another in a marriage. We do it all the time. As soon as a man stays working in the garage or stays late at work or makes some inappropriate comment to his wife sees this and pulls back and says, fine, that's it, if that's the way he's going to treat me. And she pulls back her respect, her appreciation. He walks in the door the next time, he gets silence or a cold shoulder, and he goes, oh, I see. This is what I'm going to get when I get home. And he goes back to the garage. And she says, all right, if that's the way it is. The book I referred to a minute ago calls it the crazy cycle. The crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts. Without respect, and she withdraws things that he sees as respectful. Without respect, he reacts. And you go on and on and on and on. Now, this actually looks a little bit tame right here, but you let this go on for months or years. If you don't pay attention that the issue isn't disagreeing over mowing the lawn, isn't disagreeing over working late in the office, it isn't disagreeing over how much time you spend working on the cars. The issue is, are you showing her love that she understands as love? And ladies, are you showing him respect that he understands as respect? That's the issue. It's two people who do love each other and do have a respect for each other, but don't know how to get out of this cycle because all these issues and subjects come up. It really ends up, sadly, as being a cause of divorce in many, many marriages. And it's blamed as, well, we grew apart, or we just don't connect well anymore, or we argue all the time. That's a common one. We argue all the time. I'll bet you in almost every one of those cases, you'll find this cycle working, the argue all the time issues. So, is there hope? Well, we just read Colossians 3, or parts of Colossians chapter 3. And you'll notice that throughout that, first of all, it says, set your mind, where you're supposed to be looking? On things above. Get your mind to think about what God is calling us for. And then it calls us throughout the middle of those verses into love, patience, kindness, forgiveness, bearing with one another. Now, obviously, those are all congregational words, right? That's so all of us can show the love and respect we're supposed to. But narrow that congregation down and narrow it down and narrow it down and narrow it down and narrow it down until it's just you and your spouse. And make that your little bitty congregation and apply the reading of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 is a good place to start. There is always hope. If your marriage has a deep frustration, I'll bet you'll find at some part of it that crazy cycle of pulling back love and pulling back respect and pulling back love and pulling back respect. It is so foundational. It is described as stepping on someone else's oxygen tube, breathing tube. You're stepping on his tube like he can't breathe, and you want him to respond with romantic love. Guys, you're stepping on her very breath. When she asks for conversation, she can't breathe if you don't sit down and listen and talk things over and show her the attention and the kindness. How's she going to respond with respect? But if one person, and that's what's so beautiful about most of these things, if one person decides to change, lots of change comes. As soon as somebody stops stepping on that breathing tube and the other one goes, they've got some position to respond. I remember it was more like 3 to 5 years into our marriage, my sweet wife went crazy sweet toward me. She started being majorly attentive toward me. She would greet me with kindness. She would do kind things throughout the day. She would listen to me, talk to me, agree with me on whatever was going on over the weekend. On and on and on it goes. And a man can only stand that for so long. You've got to do something about it. And it was driving me crazy. This lady was being so incredibly attentive toward me. I just had to defend myself. I had to love her back. And our marriage took a serious step. We had always had a nice marriage, and we had all the romance of early marriage and all the arguments of early marriage. But our marriage took a serious step toward a depth and a quality. I'd love to say it's been on an incline ever since, but we've had our serious bumps and bruises. But one person changed, and the other person couldn't help but defend himself and change. The motive, however, has to be for the Lord. You can't say, all right, I'll show him some respect, but I better get some love back for this. If he doesn't start loving me by next weekend, if he doesn't start stopping and talk, you can't live it that way. You've got to just do it for the purity of praising God and pleasing God. Get rid of your selfish motives. And today, it's Father's Day, we'll look at respect. Can respect be commanded? Sitting in it was called Faulkner University at the time, I think is where it was, Southern Christian Bible School and University. Carol and I were down in a conference there years ago, and we were sitting at the breakfast table, and this came up, and I said something about, well, it's marriage is love and respect. You get down to that core, and you really can improve some things. And the man sitting across from me, who I have no idea who he was, I just sat down and said, good morning, I was reading our eggs and bacon, and he said, respect is earned. And I said, well, God said in the Word to respect. He said, respect is earned. You cannot command respect. Okay. Interesting point. He got up and got a cup of coffee and didn't come back. I dropped my controller. You know, respect comes in a lot of ways. If you're stepping on somebody's respect, as I apparently was at that moment, you'll find out about it. And anger is a common response of men defending their area that they consider respect. Can respect be commanded? Well, is love commanded? We praise unconditional love. We appreciate, even though we struggle with unconditional love, usually say, oh, I love that person. They are so kind. They're so giving. They're so sweet. They're so whatever. And we say, I just love them. But that's earned love. God calls us to unearned love, to loving the one who doesn't have all those sweet qualities to them. Love them too. And God commands husbands to love their wives. He commands us to love one another. He commands us, famously, to love our enemies. And he also says, the wife must see to it that she must see to it. The wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Can respect be commanded? Bring that up with God if you don't agree. Yes, it can be commanded. What happens when there is no respect? Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is a good time not to have electronic devices on unless you're using it for a Bible. This is a good time not to be gaming, not to be Facebooking, not to be texting. And if you use it as a Bible, you got to have the self-discipline to ignore the text alarms and the Facebook alarms and the news alarms and all the other stuff. Let's respect our service together and not let electronic devices be an interruption here also. So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, in verse 20, we get the description. David has brought the ark back after a lot of struggle and after a lot of difficulty and after the serious mistake of trying to carry the ark on a cart. David has brought the ark back to Jerusalem, and he famously dances out of joy in the procession of bringing the ark in. Be careful with the verses. It never says David danced without clothing on. It said he had an ephod on. He was wearing the ephod of a priest. He was not naked. The place we get the idea that he was improper came from Michael. When David returned to bless his household, Michael, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servant maids as one of the foolish ones. Shamelessly uncovers himself." It says that Michael despised David. Now, give her a little bit of room. She has had a rough time. She was married to David by being given to him by her father, the king, Saul. When Saul and David were at odds with each other and fighting each other, Saul snatched her back from that marriage and gave her in marriage to another man. Saul's gone. She's taken from that other man and given back to David. That's a lot of the emotional struggle that Michael went through. So this is not a woman that's been well cared for or considered or protected. So she's been in a tough spot. But here, did David make a mistake? She thinks so. How do you approach somebody respectfully who's made a mistake? Cutting sarcasm, blatant rebuke, shaming rebuke is what Michael brings to her husband, the king David. How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. I have an article written by a woman about understanding men's respect. She writes, "Sometimes it's hard to know exactly what it takes to make your husband feel respected or disrespected. Sometimes the strangest comment I make will make my husband angry." I won't ask for a show of hands, but I bet every wife in the room goes, all I said was, I have no idea why he got angry at that. Carol would raise her hand the highest. I confuse her all the time. "I didn't see any respect in it at all. It baffles me. Yet he's clearly offended. He's clearly offended. It has taken time for me to learn what makes him feel disrespected. But I can tell you a few things." And she has a list about what she considers a pretty universal list of disrespect. She starts with rolling her eyes. In our house, rolling your eyes is a laughable offense. If anybody rolls their eyes in our house, we all laugh at it because we take it as an extreme humorous reaction. But obviously, this is something sensitive to her. She's criticizing him, complaining to him, praying to others about him, not respecting his knowledge, opinion, decisions, nagging at him, or assuming the worst of his actions, using sarcasm to communicate bitterness. You could think of 20 ways that Michael could have approached her husband if she really thought that he didn't respect himself out there and he didn't respect the Lord out there. There are plenty of ways to approach a man and say, honey, can we talk? As you look back, was that what you wanted to do? I'm concerned how people will react to that. There are plenty of ways of bringing that to him kindly. But Michael was disgusted and despised her husband, and it comes out in this dripping, rebuking sarcasm of her words. David's response is amazing. David's response in the next verses, I can't remember which version. All my version is New American Standard, but the NIV had a particularly good version here, so I'm not sure which this is. I will be more highly esteemed, lightly esteemed than this. You think I made a fool of myself today? I'll be more lightly esteemed. I'll make a fool of myself in the future, much bigger than I did today. That's David's response. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them, I'll be distinguished. They won't disrespect me. I'll make a big fool of myself. I'll even be humbled in my own eyes. But those ladies out there that you think I shamed myself before, they respect me. It reminds me of the line from the movie Fireproof. You remember the fireman, and I think that was the movie, in Fireproof, and was in anguish. His wife wouldn't respect him. She'd walk out on him. He was having struggles in his life. But at some point early on in the movie, he just says, everybody else out there respects me except you. I get respect all around this town, but not in my own home. The anguish of a woman who sees a man up close, maybe in good thinking sees a potential in him that he's not realizing. And rather than turning into an encouraging, cheerful cheerleader, she turns her disappointment into bitterness and into disrespect. It happens over and over again, where a man feels respected at work and disrespected at home. Yes, even when respect is not earned. You got to earn respect. Well, no doubt, but it's still commanded by the Lord. In the same way, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, in the same way, referring back to Christ's sufferings, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won over without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. So even a man in a disobedient position, any men here not have sin in their lives? Any men here whose wives don't see them up close and clearly see their sins? You see, our wives misunderstand our bravado. You know, you get 3 pounds overweight and you think you're ugly. We get 30 pounds overweight and walk into the room and say, hey, honey, what do you think? You know, and our ladies don't understand that. They don't understand that that's all bluff and puffing up. We want you, ladies, our wives, to love us like we are and to respect us where we are. Oh, we don't think we look very good. We don't think we're that hot. But we need you to think that. We need you to think that. You see the lousiest parts of us. You see our weaknesses. You see our mistakes. You know how lazy we are. You know how selfish we are. You know how shallow we are. You know us. The only one better than you is the Lord. But we still need your respect. Even them who are disobedient to the word, that they may be won over. That they may be won over without preaching or nagging or teaching or cajoling or rebuking. This can be tough because some of those sins are awful, awful, awful. Early on in our marriage, Carol read a book and shared this part with me. It said, tell your husband the good things about him. Tell your husband the good things about him and tell the Lord his weaknesses and mistakes. That's powerful. That would be effective. So, how do you respect? How do you respect? Knowing this is about God. This is not an issue between you and your husband as much as it is an issue between you and your God in your faith. This is like learning a foreign language. Just because you think you respect your husband doesn't mean you've got it down. He has an entirely different language. He thinks an entirely different way than you. You have to change from the inside. Sincerity is what he's looking for. Learn from other areas where respect is more obvious. When you're about to say something to your husband like, don't throw your coat there. Would you talk to your boss that way? Or if you had a job outside the home? Would you talk to the principal of a school or the teacher in a classroom? And remember, Ephesians says that the submission to the husband is as to the Lord. So before you come up with a rebuking, cutting, criticizing, correcting, mothering, you know, boy accusing comment, is that the way you would speak to somebody in a position of responsibility, authority? Would you talk to, I know, you say, I don't work for my husband. He's not my boss. I understand that. He's more important and has a higher position than your boss does. I know many of you ladies work, stay at home, and your work is as a mother, but you get the point. Never quit trying. Don't give up on this. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. So, how do you show respect? Acknowledge. Acknowledge that he's your man. He's your man. He's your man. He's your man. All right? God's teaching is for you and your husband. Obey the Lord. Place God, the place God has put him in. Acknowledge what God is doing with your husband and praise that. You see his talents. You see what the Lord has done for him. He is the head. He is the head. This is another one of those places in Scripture where we're not given a semblance. This isn't a simile. This isn't a metaphor. It doesn't say the husband is like the head of his wife. It's just like it says, it doesn't say the church is like the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ in some literal spiritual way. The husband is the head of his wife. It's not something we grow into. It's something we learn about because it is a fact. You can ignore it. You can disagree with your head. You can disrespect, criticize. You can even separate yourself. But you can't change the fact that he is your head. He is provider and protector of your family. Acknowledge those things. Take them deep into who you are. Appreciate, acknowledge and appreciate. Appreciate the man you chose. You married him for his good qualities, and he has many of them. God has given him additional gifts and talents. Lift them up. Appreciate them. Talk about how good he does things. Thank him. When you're amazed at how well something turns out, or you're amazed that he dives into difficult situations, appreciate that. Don't bring up his mistakes and you should have done it this way and why did you do that first and all the rest of it. Honor him by deferring to his strength. Step back a bit. If we didn't have pickle jars that were hard to open, some men would never get respect in their home. And I'm not really kidding. Honey, could you open this? Oh, thank you. I've been working on that for 5 minutes. He wants to be your hero, even if it's just a pickle jar. He wants to do things and be appreciated for the strengths that he has and honor him for it. Listen to his ideas. If he's not telling you about his dreams, you might have been stepping on him for a long time. If he's not telling you about his thoughts, if he's not opening up in conversation, he may have been getting kicked over and over and over again in your conversation, and maybe he's tired of trying to open up with you. Maybe the criticisms are just too much, and he'll stay silent. Be his daily support and encouragement. Admire. Acknowledge, appreciate, admire. Admire his character, strengths, his personal skill. Tell him and others about his talents and how much you enjoy them. When Carol has bragged about me to somebody else and it comes all the way around, I'm lifted up more than you can say. Tell others about what an awesome husband you have. Do not fall into the husband complaining trap, the husband criticizing circles. Show him how God can use him. Praise him in it. Thank him in it. Praise him to his children. Praise him to his family. Develop the trust that he and God together can do whatever needs to be done. A man is a single-minded, powerful creature in God's hands. Very different than what you are, ladies. And God can do amazing things with him. Assist. This assist aligns most with the word helpmeet, which is job one in the wife description. Assist him. Make his life successful. Not the job he's doing, his life. Your His helpmeet. That's not a weak position. God uses that word more about himself and Christ and the Holy Spirit. So it's you, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit who are the helpmeets of your husband. That's a pretty powerful group. That's not a weak serving, a lowly servant position. That's a lofty, powerful position that makes things succeed and happen. Trust his decisions. Appreciate his judgments. Help him to know God and God's love. Let God correct him and mature him. Make his home. If the symptom is your husband staying more and more and more at work, look at your home that he comes to. Is it a place where he's lifted up? Is it a place where he walks in and gets peace? He gets beat up. There's so much more about this lesson I'm just having to cut off. He gets beat up by the world, disrespected at work, knocked around. He needs to come home to a place that appreciates him and that doesn't bring him more criticism and more troubles. And affirm. Praise him. Thank him. This world is a very rough place. He needs you in his corner. He needs you as his cheerleader. He doesn't need you as one more complaining voice that tells him about his mistakes in his ear. If he's accomplished something on your to-do list, don't say, all right, we've done that, now but the next one. When are you going to get the next one done? Slow down. Appreciate him. Appreciate what he's done. Bless him. Pray for him. Unite yourself to him and the Lord. Follow his leadership. Give him a cheerful wife. I heard a terrible joke. Want to hear a terrible joke? Why did Solomon have 700 wives? Maybe one of them would be cheerful when he got home in the afternoon. That's a terrible joke. That's awful. Guys out here in the audience are smiling. Maybe one of them would be cheerful when he got home in the afternoon. That's an awful joke. Don't retell that joke. Some don'ts. Don't criticize him or his ideas. Don't criticize him to others, especially his children. Don't mother him. Don't treat him like a boy. Don't call his activities childish. Don't disrespect yourself. Your four-wheeler is not a boy toy. I hate those phrases. We give each other so much disrespect. I have to tell this story. I'm sorry I'm going on a little long. But Carol and I were in Anchorage a few months ago, and we were checking out of a store, and just conversation with the lady at the checkout counter. And, you know, hi, how you doing, et cetera, we're talking to her. And she said, well, I live in the Matsu. I said, oh, wait, we live in the Matsu Valley. We go to church. There's a church. Come on with us. And she starts talking about her family. And she says, yeah, my family's, you know, changed right now. We got a dog. Oh, how neat. Yeah, my husband has been begging me for a dog for months, maybe years. He's been begging me to see if we could get this dog. Guys, don't disrespect your wives by calling her the boss. Hey, can you free Saturday? I don't know. Let me check with the boss. This is so built into our relationship. These kinds of things are assumed that you have to get your wife's permission. To do something these days. That's not the way God created husbands and wives. If you're not strong in spending money, acknowledge it and work those things out with your wives. It works one way, it works the other way. But work it out. Your wife is not your boss. Ladies, don't let your husbands ask you permission to do things. Don't act as if you could do better. Don't compare him, especially critically, to others. Don't assume that you respect him and that he knows it. One more A word, ask. Ask him what respect or disrespect sounds like to him. Ask him. What do I do that feels disrespectful to you? What do I do that sounds respectful to you, honey? Ask him for advice. I don't know how to do this. Could you show me? And then follow it. Ask him how he wants something done and then do it. Ask him what his priorities are for you, for his family, for the Lord, for the church. Ask him, you know what the Bible says wives are supposed to ask their husbands? They're supposed to ask their husband Bible questions at home. Honey, I didn't understand that one part of the lesson. What part? Where Robert talked about respect. I respect you, don't I? I always respect you, right? Right. Yeah, thank you. All right, good. You're supposed to ask him Bible questions. Ask, wait quietly, and listen. But most importantly, ask God. Ask God to make him your man, to make your man the man that God needs him to be, not you. God needs your husband to accomplish some things. You want to be the helper that makes those things happen, not the one who holds him back. Nevertheless, each individual among you should also love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband's. This is all about Christ. It's all about Christ. A woman's supposed to look at her husband and think of Christ. A man's supposed to look at his wife and think of Christ. She looks at him and thinks of Christ as one to follow. He looks at her and thinks of one to sacrifice for. Both of them are looking at Christ, but from totally different points of view. One to follow and the other one to die for. Just as Christ loved the church, it's powerful, but it all intersects at the cross. If there's any today who have not been baptized into Christ, if any today could use some help or prayers of the church, we invite you to come forward while we stand and sing the song that's been sung.